Previously on Algoa FM Breakfast.
Right, the COVID-19 vaccine has to be one of the most topical issues that's on everyone's lips at the moment. The vaccines run into a spot of trouble in South Africa, showing less protection here more than anywhere else because a second variant of the virus that can apparently dodge key antibodies has become widespread. In the wake of the new findings, plans to launch the country's first immunization campaign with the vaccine have been halted, and a trial of the vaccine, which was conducted in about 2,000 people, found such low efficacy that it wouldn't meet minimal international standards for emergency use, which is certainly quite jarring. So to provide further clarity and explain the way forward on immunising our population, we're joined by the co-chair of the Ministerial Advisory Committee on COVID-19, Professor Salim Abdul Karim. Good morning, Prof.
Very good morning to you, and good morning to all of the listeners.
Prof, what is the story? You know, where are we now as far as things stand with the vaccine?
Sure. In developing South Africa's COVID-19 vaccine strategy, we had wanted to have a diverse portfolio of vaccines. The idea is not to do only one vaccine, but many. And among those that we had recommended was the AstraZeneca vaccine, the Pfizer vaccine, and the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. And the government has procured those. Now, the AstraZeneca vaccine came first, but as you heard this week, a small study done in South Africa showed that against mild infection, the vaccine was not as effective as it had been against the previous variants. Now, we don't know what that means for severe infection or hospitalization, because that's what we're really trying to prevent. Now, because of these results, we're a bit uncertain about whether it prevents hospitalization. And so for that reason, we recommended that instead of just rolling it out, we should roll it out in two steps. The first step, vaccinate 100,000 people, assess whether hospitalization rates are low, and if they are, we proceed. So that's the proposal that the government is considering. In the meantime, the World Health Organization has reviewed the AstraZeneca vaccine, and they are of the view that there's nothing to be concerned about. The vaccine can be rolled out even in South Africa.
Prof, if you can just shed some light, how did we end up with vaccines that are due to expire so soon? 100 million rand is not small change to part with.
Yeah, so there's some confusion. And I think the problem has been that the Department of Health hasn't clarified what they mean until yesterday. So when we get any product, there's an expiry date based on what the manufacturer can support. So because these vaccines were first made only in about September, October last year, when they made these batches, they only had stability data for a few months. You can't say the product is going to expire in 2 years' time if you haven't studied it for 2 years. You don't know whether it's stable after 2 years. So you only give a short expiry date when you start. When that expiry date is coming close, you then look at, now, do you have more stability data? Do you now have stability data for 6 months or 8 months? And then you extend the expiry date. Vaccines are not like a loaf of bread. They don't suddenly, next morning, you go there and it's full of mold and you have to throw it away. It doesn't work like that. Vaccines, over a long period, will degrade, and they degrade at a pretty slow rate. So we know from vaccines that the expiry dates are quite long. It's just that it hasn't been studied yet. And so what you're seeing, which is called an expiry date, is actually a retest date on which it will be extended.
Professor, you mentioned, though, that the proposal is to put 100,000 vaccine rollouts with AstraZeneca. Do we have a timeline on when this will start rolling out?
So the first thing is that the minister has asked for the Ministerial Advisory Committee to give him advice on this. And so we've had a committee that's been meeting every day virtually this week to try and put together exactly what this would mean. What answers could it give us? What's the best way to approach it? And it's quite a complicated set of discussions that need to happen. So we're expecting the advisory will go out in the next day or two. And then the minister will have to consider that advice and make a determination. After all, it's up to the Department of Health and the minister to decide if they want to pursue this two-step approach to roll out, or would they rather sell the vaccine, or would they rather just give it out. It's entirely their decision. Our task is to advise them.
And yesterday, the minister confirming that the Johnson & Johnson vaccine will arrive in the country next week. Now, with us having to buy a new batch, what happens to the money from the previous batch that we bought?
And so the company Johnson & Johnson have tested their vaccine in South Africa. So they did a large study, several thousand, and about one-third of the participants in that trial were above 65. So we have really sound evidence that Johnson & Johnson vaccine works against the variant we have in South Africa, so much so that it was 85% effective against hospitalization. So we're pretty confident this works. But what we can do with Johnson & Johnson is, working with the company, we have the ability to roll it out as a clinical research study. It's what is called an implementation study. And this is intended to look at what are the operational issues in rolling it out and what's the efficacy if you roll it out. So there's a whole range of questions. And so the company is providing, I think, somewhere between 300,000 and 500,000 doses for that purpose. So that's because the vaccine is not licensed yet. It's not being purchased for rollout. It's part and parcel of an implementation rollout. So it's part of a research program.
Prof, you know, just in the broader scheme of things then, where are we in the fight against COVID-19, and do you see an end in sight at all?
So we are very fortunately at this time at the tail end of our second wave. We had a really, you know, difficult second wave. Cases rose rapidly. Hospitals went under pressure, no more so than in your part of the world, you know, where things were really difficult. And you know, my hat off to all the hard workers in the health system who really, you know, dealt with this matter. Now, we are going into what is called low transmission, and we're almost in that low transmission period. We can anticipate that we'll be in this low transmission for somewhere around 3, maybe a little bit more, months, because that's how long the gap was between the first and the second wave. So we can anticipate the gap between the second and third wave might be similar. So that means we can anticipate our third wave to be somewhere in June, July this year. Now, you know, there's no way in which pretty much any country, probably the possible exception of Israel, that can vaccinate enough people in order to mitigate the third wave. So in the whole world, we're all going to have to deal with the third wave. To mitigate the third wave, you're going to have to vaccinate a lot of people. And our big problem is, and this is, you know, I say this with, you know, a heavy heart, you know, we don't know if we're going to get another new variant. If we do, then we're back to square one. We're again seeing a variant that can spread and infect people who were infected in the previous waves. So there's a lot of unknowns in the way in which we got to look at this epidemic. But for us as scientists, we can do some predictions. We can say, if it does this, this is what will happen. If it does that, and this is what you should do. And that's the basis on which we give advice to the government.
Sure. Certainly unpredictable and unprecedented times. I think in the meantime, what we can do is just sit tight then. Prof. Salim Abdul Karim, thank you so much for chatting to us so early this morning and for giving up what I would imagine to be much needed sleep. Certainly a huge responsibility which rests on your shoulders. So thank you for taking up the mantle, and all the best with your work going forward. As a nation, we're certainly counting on it.
Absolute pleasure. Thank you.
Algoa FM Breakfast is the business.